Let's welcome Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan for joining us, Mufti Saab. The days of Hajj are now over, Mufti Saab. The rest of the days of Dhul Hijjah, there are certain historic events that took place on these days. Mufti Saab, can please share with us.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Yes, this is a special month and so many amazing events happened on this month. But what's so amazing and basically for me like the cherry on the top, and I feel we all should learn lesson from and know, is the second greatest Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, the second greatest Sahabi. It was the sixth year after Lubuwa. And this Sahabi, Allahu Akbar, was on his way to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And Allah is the giver of hidayah. Imagine, it was the month of Dhul-Hijjah. He was, you know, he was basically so confused. And there were quite a few events before this that inspired him. This was none other than Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, the second greatest Sahabi, Hazrat Abu Bakr being the greatest, then Hazrat Umar, then Hazrat Uthman. But let's mention Hazrat Umar first, and then something we'll share about Hazrat Uthman and this month of Dhul-Hijjah. So Hazrat Umar, few events happened in his life that inspired him. Like one was, he didn't go home one night and he happened to go to the Kaaba. There's different reasons why. And he was sitting by the Kaaba and it so happened that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing tahajjud by the Kaaba. So Hazrat Umar said, let him conceal himself inside the curtain of the Kaaba and lend an ear. And that's exactly what he did. He started listening. And as he's listening to the tilawa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
that inspired him. And it happened that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then read Suratul Haqqah. Hazrat Umar is enjoying the recital, inspired by the recital. He says, then I thought, the way these words are so rhythmic, such an amazing rhythm and, you know, sequence to it, even though the Qur'an Kareem is not on the form or the riddles of poetry, but it has such a beautiful sound to it. So he said, I thought to myself, could this be poetry? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches the verses, وَمَا بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ, that these are not the words of a poet. So then Hazrat Umar is saying, I was shocked. I'm just thinking this is not poetry and this verse of the Quran is responding. Then I thought, is this magic or what? Is this sorcery or magic? And then the next verse says, وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ, nor are these words the words of a fortune teller or a magician. Very little do you take lesson. Then Hazrat Umar said, I'm wondering, what is it then? Then the next verse responds, تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَّبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْضَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينِ فَمَا مِنْكُم مِّنْ أَحَدٍ عَنْهُ حَاجِزِينَ وَإِنَّهُ لَتَذْكِرَةٌ لِّلْمُتَّقِينَ. And then the verse culminates to the end of the chapter. Hazrat Umar says, then the verse introduced me to the fact that this is a revelation from Allah, a gradual revelation from Allah. And it was not manufactured or composed or by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Quran Kareem warns that if anyone has to fabricate the Quran, what would Allah do with them? So these words inspired Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He says this was where the seeds of Islam were sowed in his heart. Then there were a few other events that also happened. What inspired him greatly was the Muslims were so strong and firm on their faith, despite the atrocities meted out against them, the torture, the suffering they went through, despite all of that, the Muslims remained firm. This inspired Hazrat Umar. One day it so happened that he saw a family, one of a family member, packing up Layla bint Abi Hasma. Anyway, he asked her, and her husband's name was Amir. So he asked her, what's the matter? Well, why are you all packing up? She says, no, we can't take it in Makkah anymore. You all don't allow us to worship Allah, and for us, our deen is everything. So he says, but you're prepared to leave Makkah. She says, we leave Makkah also, but our deen is priority. Anyway, Hazrat Umar then softened. He says, you know, may Allah take you all safely. May Allah take you all with salama. Anyway, when her husband returned, she mentioned to him that this was the incident between her and Umar. Then her husband asked her, do you think Umar's heart is softening towards Islam? She says, really, indeed, I think so. So he responded, he said, let me get it clear to you. Even if his father's donkey was to become Muslim, he would never embrace the kalima. So this was how they felt Umar could be so far and how would he never embrace. But there were quite a few events that happened in Makkah that inspired him and sows the seed. That's why a lesson here that for you and I, sometimes we're working on someone and we say something, explain the beauty of Adhan, explain some history about the Hajj, explain Ibrahim alayhi salam. Maybe they won't become Muslim today. Someday they'll embrace. Sometimes we expect the person to embrace Islam overnight in 5 minutes. No, it's a very important thing to invite them, but we can't expect everyone to change overnight. Give bashara and nagara, bashir and nadir. Give a person beautiful lessons, the beauty in Islam, the positivities, the fitrah in Islam, simple, beautiful practices in Islam, but also give an ultimatum, a warning. In this way, in a polite manner, explain that yes, we all are going to die someday. And then when we die, then it's too late to make this decision. First explain the beauty of Islam and then give this warning in a polite manner. And if we give ikram with it, oh, that even makes it even more effective and inspirational. Then it was the month of Dhul Hijjah, sixth year after Nubuwwah, and Hazrat Umar says, I am charging towards finding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's on his way looking for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he got information that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in Darul Arqam. He's on his way there. And just then, another Sahabi by the name of Nu'aym sees Hazrat Umar. Nu'aym bin Abdullah Naham. And interestingly, he is also Adawi from Hazrat Umar's clan. He says, where are you off to, Umar? Hazrat Umar says, you know what? I had enough. It's too much. How much more must we tolerate this? How much more must we tolerate this? So much of this disunity in Makkah. Now there's no more peace anymore. There's no understanding anymore. So Hazrat Umar couldn't bear it. That's why when the discussion happened in Parliament, who would end off Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Even though he wasn't too happy doing it, but he thought if this is going to put an end to one party, at least there could be peace again. That's why, you know, he was going through this difficult time or this confusing state. And now he said, let me end off Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they offered in the parliament of Makkah, man yaqtulu Muhammada sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umar charges towards where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was situated. And Nu'aym then realizes this is dangerous. So he says to Umar, now he comes up clear. Nu'aym had already embraced Islam, but he was concealing his deen. So he says, Umar, how can you kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You will never be able to. So Umar says, oh, are you also embracing the same faith? Nu'aym says, you starting with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why don't you start from your own household? He says, what do you mean? He says, your sister and your brother-in-law. He says, are you saying they are also practicing the same faith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nu'aym says, yes, indeed. And then Hazrat Umar immediately charges towards the home of his sister, Fatima Bintul Khattab, also known as Ummu Jamil. She was among the earliest Sahabiyat, radiyallahu anhun. And I would want to draw the attention of our sisters here. I want you to take note, my sisters and my mothers, what an impact you can have in paving the way for a future beautiful society, especially in our family members. What an impact our mothers have. What an impact our sisters have. Hazrat Umar is charging, ranting and raving, and going straight to his sister's home. Now, if we look at what Nu'aym did, Nu'aym was actually in a situation. He was looking at what is the purpose is to protect Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not that he wanted to spy Hazrat Umar's sister, but he is now worried about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that is the ultimate. The Sahaba are prepared to sacrifice anything and everything, themselves, their families, everything, to protect Allah's deen, to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how we must understand what Nu'aym radiallahu anhu did. Anyway, Hazrat Umar reaches the door of his sister and he bangs the door. In that, there was a sahabi teaching them, Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu anhu. He conceals in one of the sections of the house, the pantry, and the couple was there sitting. And Hazrat Umar comes in. He asked them, what were you all doing? And obviously they tried to conceal the issue because they didn't want to come out clear with Hazrat Umar. It was still the early Meccan stage where the dawat was in the Makki door. So Hazrat Umar insisted and he started fighting with his brother-in-law, and then his sister came to defend his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law is a very interesting personality as well. His name was Sa'id, Hazrat Sa'id bin Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail. So just to rewind a bit for us to understand who is the brother-in-law of Hazrat Umar, let's look at his brother-in-law's father. And this was a man by the name of Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail. Now, Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail was a man who was on Tawheed even before the advent of Islam. He was in Makkah and in the Meccan stage. He couldn't bear idolatry. He used to go to the Meccan people by the Kaaba, tell them about Allah, the oneness of Allah, that this whole universe has one creator and he has no partner whatsoever. And he went through a lot of torture for this. He went through a lot of difficulty for this, a lot of insults, a lot of torture. His uncle, Khattab, his cousin Khattab used to torture him for this. And on many occasions he was kicked out of Makkah. Another amazing salient quality of Zayd was, if he heard that any of the Meccans were giving birth to a baby girl, meaning their wives were giving birth to a baby girl or gave birth to a girl, he would go there and offer his services. And he would beg them not to kill the child, and he would take care of the child. And like this, he took care of many little girls, saving them from infanticide and being buried alive or being killed, because it was still a stigma in the Meccan society. This was Jahiliyyah. They would kill their daughters, bury their daughters alive and so forth. He was one of those who would offer his services, and he grew up like this, many orphan children. Then he journeyed to the Romans, meaning Syria, because he was looking for the truth. And one of the senior rabbis, scholars there told him, you are here, but you should actually be where you came from, because there, the final Nabi of Allah is to hail from, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then Zayd was returning to Makkah, and en route, he was then attacked and seized by some highway robbers, and then he was killed. And as he was killed, he was saddened by it, obviously. But he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his deathbed. That, oh Allah, I really wanted to get to Makkah to meet this man of yours, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final Nabi of Allah. But Allah, it's your will that you're not allowing me to meet him. But oh Allah, if you're not giving me this khair, in kunta haramtani min hadha al-khair, fala tahrim minhu ibni sa'idan. Oh Allah, please I beg you, grant my son the tawfiq. And let him not be deprived of this khair of meeting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why Hazrat Sa'id was one of the earliest Muslims. Him and his wife, Ummu Jamil Fatima bint al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhuma. They both were practicing Islam. And Sa'id bin Zayd, subhanallah, a very interesting sahabi. And he's one of the ashara mubashara of Jannah, Hazrat Sa'id, radiyallahu anhu. So he, Hazrat Umar had an altercation with him now, and the sister came in to defend her husband. And in that, she got hurt. And Hazrat Umar then sees that, and his heart got softened. So he calmed down. He says, okay, just show me what y'all were reading, what y'all were learning. So his sister had concealed the pages of the Qur'an Kareem on something that she was sitting upon. Now, obviously, you're not allowed to sit on the Qur'an Kareem, except if it is to defend and protect the pages of the Qur'an Kareem. To put the Quran on something and sit on it actually is totally unacceptable in Sharia. impermissible in Sharia. But if one was in battle or someone was somewhere where they're looking to burn the Quran-i-Kareem, then he put the Quran-i-Kareem in a box and sat on it to protect it, that they would know that Muslims would never sit on the Quran-i-Kareem. Then obviously, in the second scenario, one's action is meritorious and recommended and rewardable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, Hazrat Umar's sister said, okay, I'll show you, but you're unclean. So he goes to clean himself and he comes and she hands over the scriptures of the Quran Kareem. And then as he reads, he was so inspired. He read the verses, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلا الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم علم السر وأخفى الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. Hazrat Umar says, what amazing words. Take me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected Ummah, let's draw a lesson here. This is the impact of doing ta'lim, learning and teaching. Every one of us should establish this beautiful amal. This is a beautiful amal in our homes. Let's learn. Let's read the books of Hadith, Fada'il al-A'mal, the lives of Sahaba, Riyad al-Salihin, a book on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's do this with our children in the home. What an impact this will have in our homes, the environment it would create, the love, the passion it would instill into our children about these great people. And in that we rehearse our surahs of the Quran Kareem in our homes with our children. And in that also we are taught by our elders, discuss the six qualities. Deen has so many qualities, the qualities of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that our elders have discussed and recorded six. If we make an effort to bring these qualities in our lives, Allah would make bringing all the other qualities of deen much easier for us. So among these qualities is to talk about Allah and Iman, Salah, Ikhlas, Ikram and Dawat ilallahi Azza wa Jal. So imagine each of our children now get a chance to talk about Allah. In this halaqah of ta'aleem, after we read from the books of virtue, after we learn the lives of Sahaba, and then we discuss the greatness of Allah, and each one talks about Allah. Imagine your child tomorrow will learn to stand up in front of any tyrant and just give da'wah to Allah. Your child will understand the value of iman in any environment. Inshallah, your child will not fall and take effects of that environment, but will affect that environment positively. Make that environment better. That's just through the barakah of ta'aleem. And what's amazing, Hazrat Umar was inspired from that environment of ta'aleem. Anyway, Hazrat Khabbab comes out because he was in concealment. And he comes out. He says, Umar, you want to go there? He says, yes. I said, take me to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning he wants to embrace Islam. Hazrat Khabbab said, last night, it was a Thursday night, Allah's Nabi took your name and made dua for you, O Umar. And now they take him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was at the center of Islam in Makkah. Subhanallah. When you're making Safa, Marwa, and Sa'i, when you're passing Safa, look there and take few moments to introspect and ponder on the other side of this mountain, while the home of a Sahabi whose home, ya Allah, was chosen for, as a center of Islam, as the markaz of Islam, as the first madrasa of Islam, as the first place, center and learning of Islam, where ta'aleem used to take place, where Quran Sharif learning and teaching used to take place, where the discussions of Iman used to take place, where Sahaba would learn the stories of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, because these were the discussions in the Quran Kareem, Iman, Yaqeen, Akhira, Jannah, Jahannam, the stories of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, all this was taking place in this Sahabi's home. And there, subhanAllah, Hazrat Umar knocks the door. And when they peep from inside, from a crevice, and they say, it's Umar, Hazrat Hamza, who had embraced Islam 3 days prior. He says, so what if it's Umar? Let him come. If there's goodness that he wants, we'll give him goodness. If there's anything else, we'll show him. This was the bravery of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to welcome Umar. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Umar strictly. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah, sometimes he said strictly, sometimes he said softly. He taught us everything. How to be soft, how to be kind, how to be stern. Every aspect of deen is taught in the Sunnah Mubarakah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh Umar, till when are you going to carry on in this reckless manner? And when are you going to change? He says, oh Allah's Nabi, I've come to change. Ya Allah, everyone in the center of Islam recited the takbir out of joy with such vigor and fervor and enthusiasm that the takbir was recited. The takbir of Sahaba in Darul Arqam resounded that it was even heard by the Kaaba. That what happened? Allahu Akbar! What happened? That was the joy of Sahaba on the occasion of the Islam of Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that from the time of the Islam of Umar, we remained in great honor. Subhanallah, as our ulama explained, how every person gets honor through Islam. Allah gave honor to Islam through the Islam of Hazrat Umar. Allah made Hazrat Umar with Islam a means of honor for Islam. Ma zilna a'izza mundu aslama Umar. Now Hazrat Umar put it in the discussion in Darul Arqam that, oh Allah's Nabi, let's not remain in confinement and concealing our deen. We want to practice our deen openly. And from that time, alhamdulillah, that Dhul Hijjah deen was practiced openly. Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Umar served Allah's deen all his life. Subhanallah. Became the second greatest sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the second greatest of this ummah. What a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so close. He was such an intelligent man, but he was always there by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, striving for Allah, defending Allah's deen. Imagine his amazing journey of hijrah. Look at his bravery. He would say to the mushrikeen that you want to stop my brothers from hijrah, try and stop me, see what I'll do to you. And he actually said to them, he who wants his wife to be widowed and his children to be orphaned, I'm going at this point. You come there and meet me, I'll show you. This was the bravery of Hazrat Umar. And study his amazing journey of hijrah, how he traveled with Hazrat Ayyash, how he was prepared to do so much for one individual to save the iman. And then Allahu Akbar, it was in the year 23 Hijri, in the month of Dhul Hijjah as well, where Hazrat Umar was made shaheed. Inshallah, we'll discuss more concerning that incident as well, because our time is elapsing very quickly, very rapidly. But this is what I want to implore one and all, especially our mothers and sisters. And more so, mashallah, we got Masdurat Jamaat coming out in Allah's way in the next day or two. Also, there's a Jamaat coming to Newcastle, Masdurat, alhamdulillah. We got the Ijtima, the Barakah of the Ijtima has so much of khair, alhamdulillah. Allah give us tawfiq to welcome more and more Jamaats going out in Allah's way. What a beautiful work to establish deen in every home. To establish a'mal in every home, in every area, in every town, in every vicinity. Subhanallah. Allah give us tawfiq. That's why our mothers and sisters have great potential. And this is what request we'll make of them. That join in the programs of deen. You know, the ladies' ta'aleem that takes place, the weekly ta'aleem. Be part and parcel of the fikr. Take new sisters there, and other sisters who are participating. When we see new sisters come, welcome them with a smile, make their ikram. Don't make them feel out of place. Don't make them feel that they being judged. No, shaitan uses all these small issues to distance people. Then people are looking for hidayah elsewhere, and then they try and take deen from the incorrect avenues and so forth. This beautiful system, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, is so amazing. Imagine Hazrat Umar, the second greatest sahabi. What about Hazrat Uthman, the third greatest sahabi? How he got hidayah? My mother, my sister. His aunt, Hazrat Su'ada bint Quraiz, radiallahu anha, his auntie gave him dawat. Uthman, you're such an intelligent man. You're such a prominent man. This is what Islam is all about. This is how beautiful Islam is. Hazrat Uthman started thinking. Now imagine my mother, my sister. You inspire your brother's children, your sister's children, and inspire them towards bringing alive deen in their life. Inspire them towards Islam. Inspire them towards Quran. Inspire them towards every avenue of deen, ilm. becoming an alim, you inspire that child of yours. Subhanallah, what an impact. People will listen to you. Hazrat Uthman was inspired by his auntie's dawat. Then he had a meeting with Hazrat Abu Bakr. So in that discussion, they had some business transaction. He mentioned to Hazrat Abu Bakr that this is what my aunt said. What do you think? Hazrat Abu Bakr says, Uthman, I'm telling you what your aunt is saying is 100% correct. He says, if you say it, Abu Bakr, I'll believe it. So my respected brother, entrepreneur, businessman, doctor, lawyer, physician, whatever your faculty, Allah has blessed you. Use that position. See what Hazrat Abu Bakr says to Uthman. Come, it's the truth. Hazrat Uthman was shy. Hazrat Abu Bakr says, you don't worry, I'll take you. And he takes Rasulullah, takes Hazrat Uthman to meet Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you're going to work today. Whatever your faculty, your field, your office, make this intention. Ya Allah, accept me also to connect somebody and somebody to you, O my Allah, and to the Sunnah Mubarakah of my beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we'll discuss further because Hazrat Uthman is also linked to Dhul Hijjah. Allah give us tawfiq. Jazakumullah for the opportunity. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil
ummi. Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahib. Please make dua for us and for the ummah.
Barakallahu feekum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.